Just a quick heads up that I am currently on maternity leave, which means that the Fertility Co podcast is taking a break. But please don't panic because I am already working on some exciting things behind the scenes. And when I come back, I'm really looking forward to sharing with you a brand new, completely free mini course all about ovulation and finding your fertile window. In the meantime, there are still heaps of ways that you can continue to learn about your fertility and your menstrual cycle while I take a break. If you're just getting started with charting your cycle, you can check out my free fertility roadmap. If you want to dive deeper and learn exactly when you're ovulating, then you can watch my Fix Your Fertility Masterclass. There is, of course, also my Conceive with Confidence workshop series and, of course, my flagship online program, Fertility School. If you want individualized support from a trained fertility educator, that's me, then you can book in to my waitlist for a one-on-one consult, and I would love to work with you to achieve your fertility goals in 2024. Spots are strictly limited though, and links to all of those resources are in the show notes.
I'm Rachel, and I'm obsessed with all things periods, pregnancy, pelvic floor, and helping women just like you to navigate all of life's major milestones. I'm a physiotherapist, a natural fertility educator, and my passion is teaching women how to take control of their health. Fertility, pregnancy, nutrition, and menstrual cycle health, we'll dive deep into all of it right here. All those questions you've been secretly Googling, all those things you're too embarrassed to ask your doctor, because, well, we're women. Shouldn't we just know this stuff? So get comfy and get ready to finally have all of your questions answered. Hit subscribe now and let me teach you what they never taught us in health class. Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast. So I know this is a big call, but there is one thing that I always stand by when it comes to prenatal supplements. It completely changed the way I thought about preconception care and early pregnancy, and I think it will for you too. One size doesn't fit all. Sounds super obvious, right? At any other stage of life, you wouldn't start taking a vitamin D supplement unless your vitamin D levels were low. You wouldn't start taking an iron supplement unless your iron levels are low. So why are women being encouraged to buy a generic over-the-counter prenatal supplement, take it every day, and expect that all of the nutritional requirements for pregnancy and preconception for mother and baby will be met? This is a question that I'm getting asked a lot lately. It seems like, you know, questions and trends come in waves, and it's all about prenatal supplements at the moment. And I got another email about it earlier in the week, and the person that emailed me, just she phrased it so well. She said, "Is this just another thing that marketers have us think that we need?" And it's so true. It leads to this complete questioning of everything we've ever been told, everything we've ever been taught about prenatals. You've got to take a prenatal, folic acid, neural tube defects, all of those things. So in this episode of the podcast, I'm sharing what most people get wrong about prenatal supplements. So we're going to be talking about whether they are necessary, when to take them, whether they'll actually help you to conceive, and most of all, we're going to talk about why a supplement will never be a substitute for a healthy, nourishing diet. Let's dive in. So let me begin with some bum coverage and remind you that at any time of life, especially when trying to conceive or already pregnant, it is best to consult your doctor or a healthcare professional before taking any supplements, or stopping taking supplements on that matter. Some supplements can interact with medications that you might be taking, and they may mask underlying deficiencies that need to be addressed. So let me begin this episode by breaking down some reasons why you should not rely on a prenatal multivitamin alone. First of all, every brand is very different. They include different levels of nutrients, so it can be really tricky to know which one is going to give you exactly what you as an individual need. There's a really wide variety of supplements that are readily available to pregnant women and women trying to conceive, but the composition and the quality will vary depending on the country of manufacture and the brand itself. Just like the nutritional guidelines change according to where you live, insane, I know, not all prenatal supplements are created equal. I always recommend speaking with a nutritionist or a naturopath, getting a blood test and working out what nutrients you actually need more of and where you're already fine. So these health professionals can provide you with a practitioner prescribed prenatal supplement that is much better quality than anything over the counter. And some providers I'm seeing are now offering some short 15-minute online consults purely for reviewing your supplement intake and getting you access to those practitioner prescribed products. So I've done this and I highly recommend it. If you're located in Australia, then feel free to reach out and I can let you know where I went for this consult. Absolutely not sponsored, just something I experienced that I thought was a really incredible idea. So the second reason is that some prenatals don't actually contain all of the nutrients that are required for pregnancy. So it is universally agreed that all prenatals should have at least, at the very least, folate, calcium, iodine, vitamin D, and vitamin B12. Iron is also essential for pregnancy, but a supplement should only be prescribed when a deficiency has been confirmed by your doctor. For example, though, some supplements don't contain choline or DHA because these nutrients don't make the list of what's universally agreed on as essential for pregnancy, but choline and DHA are essential for baby's brain development. So, third reason why you shouldn't necessarily just rely on a prenatal is that taking a multivitamin can lead to complacency. So this means that you're less conscious of eating a nutrient-dense diet. So it's a common belief that a prenatal supplement or a multivitamin, even if you're not pregnant and you're just taking a random multivitamin, some people believe that this has everything that you need for health, for a healthy pregnancy, for healthy conception. Like I've said though, not all prenatals are created equal, and many women will still not reach their daily nutrient requirements if they rely on a prenatal and they don't actually focus on eating a nutrient-dense diet. In other words, living on KFC and popping a prenatal will not counteract one another. Reason number four is that some prenatals will have side effects. So nausea and constipation are both some very common side effects of supplements. Both of them are also pretty common during pregnancy. So when you're battling morning sickness and nausea, swallowing a prenatal can be really hard. And I've lost count of the number of times that I threw mine back up during my first trimester. Next reason is that some prenatals contain forms of nutrients that are actually poorly absorbed in the body. And this is becoming more and more talked about. And this is something I'll talk about later on in the episode as well when it comes to folate and folic acid. Another big one is iron. So if you're iron deficient and you've been prescribed an iron supplement, there's a good chance that it may not be well absorbed in the body. So iron supplements also notoriously cause constipation. So while they are absolutely necessary in some cases, sometimes increasing your iron intake from the foods you eat might be enough to avoid that threshold for requiring a supplement in the first place, and they're unlikely to cause those side effects. Finally, absorption is often reduced when taken on an empty stomach. So this means that you need to consider when during the day you're taking your supplements and remembering to take them with or after a meal. And again, if you're feeling too unwell to fill your stomach, then you might not be getting the full benefit of your supplement. In contrast, the nutrients in the foods you eat are always going to be more easily absorbed than a tablet. Nutrition should always be prioritized over supplementation, and that is what I always come back to whenever someone asks me a question about prenatal supplements. So there are specific groups of women who would absolutely benefit from taking a supplement throughout their pregnancies. So teenagers or young mothers who are still growing and developing themselves, vegetarians, vegans, anyone who has a restrictive diet and doesn't eat particular food groups, women that may have inadequate food intake for any other number of reasons, women who have high levels of stress, smokers and substance abusers, women who are overweight or obese who may have been advised to restrict their food intake or avoid excessive weight gain during their pregnancies. So there are a few populations where supplements are really important. In Australia, our healthcare system does have a bit of a tendency to push prenatal vitamins on women who are trying to conceive or already pregnant without any sort of conversation around nutrition. It's almost like ticking a box for them. I remember going to do a prenatal check at my GP before officially trying to conceive, and I was asked if I was taking a specific brand that I won't name. I said what I was taking, and that was the end of the conversation. There was no conversation about prenatal care or preparation, and definitely not a conversation about nutrition for conception and pregnancy. I understand that doctors are busy, their workload is insane, and nutrition probably isn't their area of expertise. And full transparency, my doctor may well have just assumed that I knew enough about nutrition because he's known me all my life. But you know what they say about assuming also. Prenatal vitamins are absolutely important, please don't get me wrong there, but I do feel that we need to improve our approach to nourishing our bodies first. We need to be better at explaining to women who are trying to conceive or who are pregnant that supplements are only part of the picture. So I always say that they should be seen as insurance, more of a backup, not a replacement for a nutrient-rich diet. Instead, we really need to be encouraging women to pay attention to their nutrient intake from food and making sure they're eating a well-rounded diet rather than just popping a prenatal and getting complacent thinking they've done their job. Pregnancy puts an enormous demand on your body, so it only makes sense that your body needs more nutrients than at any other time. Unlike any dietary supplements, we never get one particular nutrient from our food in isolation, and I think this is a really interesting way to think about it. So whole foods are always made up of a combination of nutrients that interact with each other to give your body what it needs. So for example, vitamin D is both fat soluble, so it needs fat to be absorbed by the body. Salmon naturally contains omega-3 fats and vitamin D. So when we eat salmon, vitamin D has exactly what it needs to do its job for our body, unlike a vitamin D supplement. We love vitamin D for preconception too, because it improves ovulatory function. In some cases, morning sickness, food aversions, allergies and intolerances can make it really hard to meet the nutritional demands of pregnancy with food alone. And that's where supplements play their part, and they have absolutely improved health outcomes for mothers and babies. But it's so important to think about supplements as filling potential gaps in your diet rather than a sole source of all your nutrients. On the other hand, conversely, if there isn't a gap in your diet, then they may not be doing much in terms of nutrition. This is why it's so important to consult a healthcare professional and make sure you're only supplementing based on your personal requirements and not what's known as supplement stacking. So going to the shops and stocking up on random supplements without knowing what you need. A lot of people describe that as very expensive wee, because your body will ultimately flush out whatever it doesn't need. So like I just touched on with morning sickness and food aversions, I was really sick in my first trimester of pregnancy and I could not keep a lot of food down. I took a prenatal supplement throughout my pregnancy, and I still do because I'm breastfeeding, and I, like many women, could not eat like I hoped or planned to while I had my head in the toilet after every meal. Full disclosure, I ate a lot of chicken schnitzels and mashed potato while I was sick. And I've talked a lot about this in another episode, my lessons learned from my first trimester of pregnancy. But because I was really conscious about eating a wholesome, nourishing diet in the lead up to my pregnancy, and I did take my preconception prep pretty seriously, I felt a lot less guilty about eating all that mashed potato because I knew that I'd built up my nutrient stores where possible to get me through that hard patch. And as soon as I started feeling better, I got straight back into the good, healthy nutrition, and I actually enjoyed eating all those foods and I craved them because that's what I'd missed out on for so many weeks. So one of the very earliest episodes of the podcast, I think it's number 3 or 4, my top 5 fertility superfoods, I talk a lot about the essential nutrients for pregnancy. I have a pregnancy nutrition guide available on my website. That information is absolutely there for you if you want it. But there are 2 specific micronutrients that I want to focus on in this episode, specifically for that preconception phase. So folate and iodine are 2 nutrients that are really important for early fetal development during those early weeks of pregnancy when you likely don't yet know you're pregnant. This is why it's recommended that you take a daily folic acid and iodine supplement for at least a month before trying to conceive, which has helped to reduce pregnancy complications across the world, and that's why it is universally agreed that any prenatal supplement should contain folic acid and iodine. It's why food like breads and cereals are fortified with these nutrients. They're pretty important. So let's start with folate and folic acid. Folate is essential for fetal development, especially the neural tube, which will later form the spinal cord. The neural tube closes early in pregnancy, around 6 weeks, and if it doesn't close properly, it leads to complications like spina bifida. And the problem is that many women don't yet know they're pregnant at around 6 weeks to start taking a folate supplement if they haven't already been taking one. So the most common recommendation is to take 400 micrograms of folic acid daily, like I said, for at least 1 month before conception and in the first 3 months of pregnancy. So folic acid is the synthetic version of folate. It doesn't metabolize in our body in quite the same way as naturally occurring folate from real food does. So folic acid, the synthetic version, needs to be converted into its active form called methylfolate to be properly broken down and used by the body. So some prenatal supplements contain folic acid, but it's not actually being metabolized properly in the body. And some people have conditions where this isn't metabolized as well, so it's effectively not getting absorbed properly and used. And this is why it's so important to make sure you're consuming natural forms of folate in your diet. So legumes, liver, green vegetables, seeds, whole grains, nuts, bananas, berries, citrus, beetroot, avocado, and eggs are all really high in folate. And you want to make sure that you're supplementing with an active form, methylfolate. So you can look for methylfolate in your supplement ingredients under the following names. So L-methylfolate, L5-methyltetrahydrofolate, that's a mouthful, and levomethylfolate. Not to name names, you would be very surprised about which prenatal supplements don't make the cut when you start looking for methylfolate. Next, we have iodine. So the other key nutrient in the preconception phase is iodine, and it's a key component of thyroid hormones that is needed for fetal brain development. And sadly, iodine deficiency is considered to be the leading cause of preventable brain damage in babies. It's recommended to take an iodine supplement or a prenatal containing iodine during preconception and pregnancy, and you can also get adequate intake from foods like seafood, seaweed, dairy products, and eggs, as well as iodized salts. If you have a pre-existing thyroid condition, then you should consult a doctor before taking an iodine supplement. So, the question I'm asked a lot is, can prenatal supplements help you to conceive? The most common fertility problems are usually issues with ovulation, and these are most often cases where no definite cause has been found, no definite problem. So lifestyle changes that relate to diet, exercise, and reducing stress have all been found to significantly improve fertility. One study that was conducted by Harvard University found that a preconception protocol has been associated with lowering the risk of infertility, let's say subfertility here, by 69%. That's very significant. And a preconception protocol doesn't have to be fancy. Think of the four key pillars of fertility: diet, exercise, sleep, and stress. These are all within our control, and we can improve our fertility by 69% by looking at these factors. Nourishment is about giving your body nutritious foods. We want to nourish your future baby with real food, unprocessed whole foods that are nutrient dense and meet the nutritional guidelines for preconception and pregnancy. So, what I want to talk about is obviously evidence-based and the very best way to support you and your fertility and ultimately your growing baby. But the key really is simplicity, the basics: whole unprocessed foods, variety, and eating what's in season. Stick to that and you can't really go wrong. So, well, yes, ensuring your body is getting all the right nutrients will help you to conceive, but there is a few steps in between. So, it's not necessarily taking a prenatal supplement or getting the right nutrients and getting pregnant. Positive preconception nutrition, taking a supplement as insurance and to fill in any potential deficiencies, will ensure you have a healthy menstrual cycle, ovulation is optimized, hormones are balanced, and yes, therefore you are increasing your chances of conceiving. There are two other key reasons why nutrition in preconception is so important too. So firstly, we already know that nutrition can have a really significant impact on both male and female fertility, improving the quality of egg and sperm, which will therefore improve your chances of fertilization and a viable pregnancy. Maximizing your nutrient intake now before you're actually pregnant will also ensure that your nutrient stores are optimal to support you throughout pregnancy, long before you actually confirm you are pregnant. In the early weeks of pregnancy, before the placenta is established at around 8 to 10 weeks, the developing embryo will get its nourishment from a tiny yolk sac, which is essentially your nutrient stores. The first 8 to 10 weeks of pregnancy are also when many women don't yet know they're pregnant and then get hit with morning sickness and they can't eat as well as they'd like to. So these preconception nutrient stores are really important. And the research shows that a diet rich in whole foods, so foods that aren't processed and are as close as possible to their natural form, so whole grains, fruits and veg, nuts, seeds, and unprocessed animal products, especially oily fish, have really beneficial outcomes for male and female fertility. Our bodies better absorb nutrients from whole foods compared to more processed foods. This type of eating is similar to a Mediterranean diet, which has been linked to some of the best health outcomes in the world. This diet is nutrient dense, it's rich in antioxidants, minerals, fiber, and essential fatty acids, and there are minimal processed foods. Whole foods are also anti-inflammatory, and we know that inflammation in the reproductive system, like we see with conditions affecting fertility like polycystic ovaries and endometriosis, can have a huge effect on our reproductive processes. So we know that nutrient-dense, nourishing diets can optimize fertility and ovulation and help to get us pregnant. What about during pregnancy? Well, eating well during pregnancy will increase energy levels, which are going to be lower than normal. It's linked to lower rates of perinatal depression. It positively influences brain development and baby's cognitive function, improved immune function for mother and baby, reduced risk of gestational diabetes, decreased risk of food allergies, asthma, and obesity, and a reduced risk of preeclampsia and premature birth. The next question I'm often asked is when to start taking prenatal supplements. I always recommend a minimum 3-month window of preconception preparation before actually trying to conceive. This isn't an arbitrary number that I've plucked from thin air. This is the time it takes to noticeably improve the quality of both egg and sperm. It takes 90 days for an egg to mature inside the follicles in the ovary before it's released at ovulation. This means that you can significantly improve the quality of your eggs within this 3-month window. This time frame also allows you to balance hormones, regulate your menstrual cycle, and any other potential issues that could be going on to get you in the best possible position for pregnancy, including making sure your body has all the nutrients that it needs to sustain a pregnancy. For male fertility and sperm production, this 3-month window is just as important. Most men produce millions of new sperm every day, but it takes about 74 days, which is 2.5 to 3 months, for these new sperm cells to fully mature. So by making lifestyle changes in the 3 months before actively trying to conceive, males are making sure that they have a stock of healthy, high-quality, mature sperm. We know male preconception care is just as important as female preconception care. Your baby starts as an egg and a sperm cell, 50-50. Prenatal supplements are available for men too, containing the essential nutrients that he needs for healthy sperm production, and they are worth considering for all the same reasons. Of course, sometimes pregnancies are not planned and we don't always have that window of time to prepare, but you are starting from behind if you're only taking a prenatal or start taking a prenatal or thinking about healthy nutrition when you're already pregnant. So that's not to say that you won't grow a healthy baby, because that baby will take everything that it can from its mother's body. So if your nutrient stores are already depleted, baby will be fine. You'll just likely feel pretty lousy until your stores can be replaced to the extent that they can give you and baby what you both need. It's also recommended that you continue your prenatal supplement throughout pregnancy. Some recommend only for the first trimester, but it's still that insurance policy throughout. And as hard as it is to even consider this when you're in pregnancy mode, but postpartum and that fourth trimester is rough. Honestly, your body doesn't really get time to recover from pregnancy and birth because you are thrown straight into caring for this tiny, beautiful baby. And as wonderful as that time is, you, your body, and your own nutritional requirements and self-care are the last things on your mind. You are sleep deprived and you are focused on a baby who needs you 24/7. So those prenatal supplements are still required to give your body what it needs in that next chapter. You're living on toast and things you can eat with one hand. So my best advice is towards the end of your pregnancy to start preparing healthy, nourishing meals and freezing them, because you will likely not be cooking for a few weeks when baby arrives. Get family and friends to help by preparing meals and dropping them off and stashing as much as you can in your freezer. I made so many batches of bliss balls and muesli bars and slices that were full of nuts and seeds and grains and as many of these good nutrients that I could squeeze into them. And they were stored in my freezer. And this is what I ate when I only had one hand free in all those feeds in the middle of the night. And my supply lasted about 3 months. I'm still breastfeeding and I'm still taking my prenatal supplement because breastfeeding and lactation takes even more energy and nutrient stores than pregnancy does. So that is something to keep in mind too. It's not just about when to start taking supplements, it's when to stop. And you don't stop as soon as you give birth. So we have covered a lot in this episode, so I want to wrap up by sharing some quick tips to building out your preconception plate. Thinking about nutrition during preconception and pregnancy doesn't have to be complicated or fancy. You don't have to completely overhaul your diet, because that just leads to confusion, overwhelm, and then it's not happening. So thinking about how you build a plate for every meal is a really simple way to make sure that your meal is nutritionally balanced. This will help you to balance your sugar levels, which in turn balances your hormones. Win-win. So here's a quick step-by-step guide for building out your plate. First, you want to add half a plate of low-starch vegetables. Then you want to add a palm-sized source of protein. So that can be meat, poultry, fish, seafood, eggs, or tofu. Next, you want to add 1/2 to 3/4 cup of whole carbohydrates or starchy vegetables. So these need to be complex carbohydrates, not simple like white rice or white bread. You want something whole and complex that will be slowly digested by the body and give you that sustained energy. Finally, you want to complete the meal with healthy fats. So a really easy way to do this is a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil, some avocado, some full fat dairy, or some seeds or some nuts. So this episode is your reminder that one size never fits all. So while prenatal supplements are absolutely recommended and they are a fantastic way to help you get all the essential nutrients that you need for conception and throughout pregnancy, please do not just think of them as your get out of jail free card, your eat whatever I like because I take a prenatal card. They are your insurance policy, but the nutrients that you truly need for balancing your hormones, optimizing ovulation, and actually getting pregnant, then for sustaining you and your baby through pregnancy and beyond, the majority of those nutrients really do need to come from your diet. I hope it's really clear for you that all of the preconception preparation advice that I share, especially when it comes to nutrition, is so much more than just preparing for pregnancy. When you're actively trying to conceive or struggling to conceive, it feels like it is all just about getting pregnant. Pregnancy is the end game, but it is so much more than that. Fertility is not about making babies. It is a state of health. And when we can optimize our overall health with those pillars of fertility, diet, exercise, sleep, and stress, as a secondary effect, we improve ovulation and maximize our chances of getting pregnant. But the end game is about postpartum health and recovery, health for any subsequent pregnancies, and even well beyond that, supporting your cycle and ovulation for the rest of your menstruating life and improving your overall health and reducing your risk of those chronic lifestyle-associated health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and stroke. So because we covered a lot in this episode, let's quickly recap what we talked about. So we talked about whether prenatal supplements are always necessary, and I gave 6 reasons why you shouldn't rely on them alone to fill all of your nutritional requirements during preconception and pregnancy. We talked about why nutrition should always be prioritized over supplementation. And I talked about the essential nutrients for preconception and pregnancy with a focus on folic acid versus folate, looking for that active form, methylfolate, as well as iodine supplementation. We also talked about whether prenatal supplements can help you to conceive. And while yes, they can, there's a few steps in between. And when to start taking your prenatal supplements and when to stop. And finally, we wrapped up by giving some quick step-by-steps on how to build your preconception plate. So I'd love to know, what are your thoughts on prenatal supplements and what advice have you been given on your preconception and pregnancy journeys? I'd love to know if it was tick in the box, do you take something, or if you actually had a conversation with a healthcare professional about nutrition. Let me know. I would love to hear your experience or help out in any way I can, and my inbox is always open for a chat. So you can get today's show notes with everything I talked about in this episode, as well as links to freebies and other related episodes at fertilityco.com.au/51. Bye for now. And don't forget that knowledge is power. When you truly understand your body, you are empowered to make informed decisions and take control of your health. Until next time. If you've made it this far, you deserve a huge virtual hug because you just finished another episode of the Fertility Co podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday, so make sure you hit subscribe now so you don't miss when the latest goes live. Why not make my day and leave me a quick rating and review while you're over there? If you want more, head on over to Instagram at FertilityCo, slide on into my DMs and say hello, or you can visit fertilityco.com.au/podcast for show notes and access to all of the freebies that I talked about in this episode. Until next time. Let's talk about TempDrop. TempDrop's wearable sensor and accompanying charting app brings the full fertility tracking solution right to your phone. Wear the TempDrop sensor on your upper arm during sleep and then just sync to the charting app whenever it's convenient for you. TempDrop believes that every woman should be empowered and equipped with the knowledge to take control of their body. Sound familiar? That's where TempDrop steps in to provide clear, science-backed technology to help you to better track your cycle. I only recommend products that I use and love, and I love my TempDrop tracker. You can get 10% off your tracker with the code AFFertilityCo or head to fertilityco.com.au/TempDrop for more information.